and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode.
Good evening. My name is Brian. If you have never seen me, we've never met before, my name is Brian. I am here with my beautiful wife and pregnant wife, Natalia. Y'all pray for her tonight. We're staying up later than usual because not only is she pregnant, but we've got a little 1.5-year-old girl down here. So if you hear some shouting, that's my daughter. She is shouting me down. She is telling you how to respond to the message tonight. No, but genuinely, we are so excited and thankful to be here with you tonight. Just out of curiosity, how many people were here this morning for any of the services, whether at Fondren, Lakeland? Give it up for yourselves. Come on. I had multiple people come up to me and say, "We're here for the fruit." And I said, "What if I change the message? What if the Lord led me in a different..." Just kidding. We're going to talk about fruit tonight, and I am excited to do that. So why don't you just open up your Bibles? Let's just jump straight in. We're going to open up our Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 11. A little bit about me and my family. We are missionaries in Latin America. We currently live in Querétaro, Mexico. So anybody in here ever been to Mexico? Just raise your hand. Oh, come on. She's Mexican. Bienvenidos. Gracias por estar con nosotros en esta noche. After service, please come talk to my wife, to our family. We'd love to meet you. Next time you're in Mexico, let us know. We are currently in Mexico right now. We're planting churches and schools that we believe by the grace and the power of God will become pillars of faith and education in those communities. And for us, it is a privilege to be back in the United States. There's some things that we forgot that we had in the U.S. that we don't have in Mexico. So it's unique to come back and be like, oh, wow, this is so different here. But we're excited to be with you tonight. I feel like I've given you enough time to get to Mark 11. Mark 11. All right, Mark 11. And we're going to start in verse number 12. We're going to read a good portion of scripture. So I just want you to stay focused, stay locked in. If you have a Bible, whether it's on your phone, whether it's a physical paper Bible, it would be more helpful to just follow along with your own Bible. So that way you can stay engaged with what we're doing. Mark 11, verse number 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. For they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city in the morning. As they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered what Jesus had said and said, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say shall happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Tonight, I want to continue in a message that I was preaching this morning. If you didn't hear it, or if you're listening by podcast, why don't you just go to the other podcast right before this one. And if you weren't here this morning, why don't you just go check out the podcast from this morning, because I think it'll give more context to what we're talking about tonight. While tonight you'll get it, I think the message before this would help bring everything together. But I want to continue in this idea of knowing why the word was sent. This morning we were talking about this idea of having faith in God. And we saw that in this passage of scripture, there was two things that we highlighted. There was two things that we can see through this scripture that Jesus was teaching the disciples that were with him. Number one, Jesus was teaching faith. But number two, Jesus was teaching fruit. This morning I focused on faith. Tonight I want to focus on fruit. But before we get there, I think it's important to just take a moment and make some observations about this text. I think as we read this text, it's important that we don't just read it and wait for me to tell you something. I think it's important as we read scripture to begin to think through it ourselves as well. So let's just look at the text. Let's make some observations. And then let me give you a little bit of information about this text as well. A couple things that we can see from this text is what I would call the miracle of decreation. Now, if you were going to title this message, that's what I would title it: The Miracle of De-creation. See, this is so interesting to me because in this text, we see Jesus do something that we don't see him do in any other point in his ministry. See, oftentimes when we think about Jesus, we are seeing Jesus doing the miracle of recreation, this miracle of bringing things back to life. You know this, right? Like, you remember the stories about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. What happened there? Jesus recreated life in Lazarus. You know about the blind Bartimaeus, right? The man who could not see. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus says, "Let me recreate your sight." There's other stories where we see Jesus recreate limbs that didn't exist. We see four men bring a man that's lame. Jesus speaks to this man and he recreates life in his limbs so that he can walk again. All throughout Jesus' ministry, we see Jesus do this miracle of recreation, that something was dead and now it's alive again. How many of you can rejoice in the fact that God can bring dead things to life? I don't know about you, but I can genuinely rejoice in that fact, that God is not just a God who creates and says, "All right, good luck." He's a God who can step into humanity and recreate the life that he already gave us. This is so beautiful to me. And we know this. We've seen this through the text of scripture. Oftentimes when we think about Jesus, we think about him doing miracles of recreation. But this isn't that. This is the only miracle that we see of Jesus where he's doing decreation. When Jesus speaks to this fig tree, it doesn't come back to life. It actually goes back to the dirt. It goes back to the substance that it was before it was living. See, this is interesting to me because as Jesus is walking along with his disciples, he sees this tree. It's got leaves on it, so he thinks that there should be fruit there. The reason for this is because fig trees, whenever there's a leaf on a fig tree, the way fig trees work is they produce fruit before leaves. Or at minimum, they produce fruit and leaves at the same time. But you will never see a fig tree producing leaves before fruit. So when Jesus sees this fig tree, he goes to it. He says, "Hey, there's something going on here. There's leaves. I'm hungry. Let me get close to this tree. Let me see if I can get some fruit from it." Jesus doesn't find fruit. and he curses the tree, and the tree decreates. Now, why didn't Jesus just come up to this tree and say, hey, this fig tree has got leaves but no fruit? You know what? You know what I want to do? Fig tree, produce fruit in Jesus' name. Why didn't he just make the tree produce fruit? You ever thought about that? Like, if Jesus is in the business of recreating things, why didn't he just recreate this tree in a way that it was producing fruit? Like, it's not that this is outside of Jesus's capacity. Jesus could have looked at the tree, said, produce fruit now, and not just fruit, produce the best figs that anybody in the world has ever tasted, because I'm going to eat of it. That could have been Jesus's response. But why in the world did Jesus see this fig tree and instead of recreating it so that it produced something different, he decreated it so that it produced nothing ever again? I would submit to you that this is a moment where Jesus is teaching faith. I'm going to get to fruit, but this is a moment where Jesus is teaching faith. Let me just leave you with this idea before we move on to fruit. Sometimes the miracle that you need in your life is not for God to recreate something. It's for God to remove it. I just want to leave you with that thought. I want you to meditate on that, because maybe there's things in your life that you're praying, God, would you turn this around? God, would you recreate this situation? God, would you bring life to this? And God's saying, actually, I need to remove this from your life, because what you don't see is that if I recreated this in the future, it would let you down. What if the miracle that you need in your life is not a miracle of recreation? What if the miracle that you actually needed was a miracle of decreation? See, I think this is where Jesus is teaching faith. He's saying, yeah, listen, I am the God who through me all things were created. So if I need something to be created, I can create it. But if I need something to disappear, I can make it disappear too. Imagine if we understood that as believers, that we didn't have to just step up to every giant and say, you know what, God, let us fight this giant. What if we could step up to giants and say, you know what, Lord, remove that one, remove that one, and remove that one. How little fighting would we have to do if we understood that Jesus didn't just recreate, didn't just give us strength, but he could actually just remove things so we never had to fight it in the first place. Jesus is teaching faith here. He's trying to open up the perspective of the disciples to say, hey, it's not just about what I can do. It's also the things that I can remove. It's not just about what I can recreate. It's also about what I can decreate. And I don't know about you, but I am glad that the Lord is not just the God who creates and recreates, but I am so thankful that God is a God who can decreate too. That there are some challenges that I never had to face because God decreated them before I got there. That there are some battles that I never had to fight because God decreated them before I got there. Like, I am so grateful that there are things that God decreated so that I never had to face it. And that's what would have happened with the fig tree. Because if Jesus would have allowed that fig tree to stay, how many more people would have come up to it and been upset? How many more people would have come up to it and been disillusioned? How many more people would have come up to it hungry like Jesus was and not be able to find anything from it? Jesus knew that he wasn't just the God who could create and recreate. He could also decreate things. Jesus, in this moment, he's teaching faith. But Jesus, in this moment, he is also teaching something about fruit. And this part of the story to me is so interesting, because when we see Jesus come up to this fig tree, again, like I mentioned, that fig trees, the way that they work, they never produce leaves before fruit. They always produce fruit before leaves, or at minimum, they produce leaves and fruit at the same time. But leaves never come before fruit. So when Jesus is hungry, he sees something that this fig tree is basically declaring to the world that it's got fruit because it's got leaves. So when Jesus sees the leaves, he comes with expectation that this tree, it's obviously declaring, it's obviously presenting itself as something that has fruit. So when he gets close to it and it doesn't have fruit, Jesus decreates it. Now, this is interesting. Jesus was looking for something. It didn't say that Jesus was looking for faith in the tree. It said Jesus was looking for fruit from the tree. It had the appearance of fruit, but as Jesus got close to it, there was no substance there. See, this is interesting to me because this isn't just about a tree. This isn't just about a miracle that Jesus did to decreate a fig tree. The interesting thing about this is that if you read the text like we just did, you'll see that before and after this whole fig tree moment, if you were just reading the Bible, like if you just sat down and read this chapter, you would say this whole fig tree business, it seems kind of out of place. Like Jesus was doing something, and then there's this little fig tree incident, and then he goes back to doing something. It seems as if this whole fig tree incident is just there by accident, that it was just as if Mark got mesmerized by something while he was writing this passage. Because what happens before the fig tree is Jesus and the disciples are going to the temple. Wouldn't going to the temple be way more important to talk about than like a fig tree? Like, in my opinion, as I read this, it's like, well, you know what? Shouldn't Mark have just like focused on the whole temple business, like the flipping of the tables? Like, give us more details about that. We don't need a lot of details about a fig tree. It's just a tree. No big deal. It doesn't really matter. But give me some details. Did Jesus have a whip? Was he like kicking people? Like, what happened? Why is this short passage right there? Why is it in the middle of this whole temple incident? Because this wasn't just a miracle. This was also a sign. What happened with this fig tree was a sign of what was happening with the people and the children of Israel. Like God's chosen people, what was happening with this fig tree, this was a sign of what was happening with God's chosen people. See, this is interesting to me, but Jesus, as he went to the temple, he found that there were people there that had this appearance of fruit. But as he came inside, he realized that they were bare, that they were fruitless. He saw all these people getting dressed, putting on their attire. He saw all these people going into this temple, following these rituals, following these routines. And he thinks to himself, well, maybe these people are producing fruit because they've got the leaves. Like, why would someone that really doesn't believe this whole thing, why would they even be going to the temple? Like, they've got the leaves, there must be fruit. And so as Jesus walks into the temple with his disciples, he sees that there are things going on that are not fruitful, but that are fruitless. He walks into this temple and he sees people selling animals instead of giving them for sacrifices. He sees people taking advantage of others. These are all God's chosen people. Why are they acting this way? Like, why do they have leaves? Why are they even going to the temple in the first place if they're not going to honor God with their lives? Like, why are they following these rituals and these routines if they're not actually going to follow him? It just makes me aware that what Jesus was showing in this fig tree, he was speaking about his chosen people. That his chosen people had leaves. That they look good on the outside. They look like they should be producing a lot of fruit. His people were doing the things that he had even instructed them to do. To go to the temple. To offer sacrifices. But even though they were doing all of these things, that as Jesus got closer and moved beyond the outside, he saw on the inside that they had no fruit, that they were fruitless, which would lead me to ask myself this question: am I bearing fruit? Like, if I know that I go to church, I know that I pray. I know that I read scripture. I know that I take these times of worship. But like, is it just about that? Like, is that all that there is? Or is there something that Jesus can actually see is being produced in my life? That it's not just I'm following routines and rituals and I'm just trying to do all the correct things so that I can mark off my religious boxes. But is my life actually submitted to him? Like, am I producing fruit? See, this is the truth about the fig tree, the truth about God's chosen people, and the truth about every believer right now. Jesus is looking for fruit. Jesus is not looking for leaves. But if he sees leaves, you better believe he expects fruit. How do I put that in a different way? If Jesus sees you demonstrating actions of a believer, he expects your heart to be a heart of a believer. He expects your life to produce fruit of a believer. He expects you to walk into situations where before Christ, you would have acted one way and responded one way. But now that you have him, your response is different because you're producing fruit. Jesus is looking for how you treat your neighbor. Jesus is listening to the conversations you're having about people. Jesus is present in all of these things. Why? Because he is looking for fruit. See, the interesting thing is that Jesus, as he looked for fruit, he didn't find any. And what happened when he didn't find it? He decreated it. What is that? How do we translate that into today? Is Jesus going to decreate me, right? I don't know, but I don't think so, right? Like, don't worry about that part. What I would focus in on is if Jesus were to come to you today, what would he find? Would he just find leaves? Would he just find rituals, routines? Would he just find your habits? Or would he find fruit? What do I mean when I say fruit? Well, fruit can be expressed in many ways. Fruit can be expressed in the fruit of the Spirit. And I think oftentimes that's where our mind naturally goes, right? Do I have love? Do I have joy, peace, patience, kindness? Like, I would say yes to all of that. Like, is your life producing those things? But I would also want to include all the other things that Jesus talks about. Like, do you pray for your enemies? Is there fruit there? Like, or I could say it this way. In the past 8 services that you've been to, 9, I'll give you an extra one. How much have you applied from what you learned? Fruit. Like, I know you're here tonight, but what are you going to apply tomorrow? Like, I know you were here last week. Did you apply anything from last week to this week? Fruit. Jesus is looking for fruit. And my question would be, are you fruitless? Do you just have leaves? Because Jesus, when he came to this fig tree, he was looking for fruit and he didn't find it. And Jesus, when he came to the children of Israel, when he came to his chosen people, he was looking for fruit and he didn't find it. And I would ask myself, if Jesus were to come to me, what would he find? Would he find fruit? Would he find me being filled with his Spirit, doing what he has asked me to do? Fruit looks like obedience. That's what fruit is. It's obedience. Do you think God created a fig tree with the intent for it not to produce fruit? No. Do you think God created us with the intention for us not to follow his plan? What is that? It's fruit. God created us in a way that we would produce fruit. Not just that we could, but that we would. My question would be, are we producing fruit? One of the interesting things that I also see in this text when we talk about fruit is that Jesus, that this wasn't the first time he went into the temple and saw these people acting this way. This wasn't the first time that he came into the temple and saw that the people were fruitless. But this was the first time he addressed it. Let me show you. Mark chapter 11, we're just going to go back to verse number 11. It says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Pause. Jesus had already gone into the temple the day before. He had already seen what was going on. Why didn't Jesus speak up in that moment? Why didn't Jesus say, you know what? I don't care what time it is in this temple. You guys are doing what you shouldn't be doing. You're not producing fruit. Let's flip these tables over and let me correct you. Why didn't Jesus do that in that moment? Because it's clear he was already in the temple before he went back. But his first time in the temple, he didn't address anything. The second time in the temple, he addresses things. Why? Why did Jesus not do this the first time? Because God is patient. He came to his chosen people, saw that they weren't producing fruit, and gave them time. How beautiful is that? He came into the temple first and didn't say anything. And oftentimes that's the reason why we think we're okay. Because we mistake God's patience with God's approval. I'm doing what God's asked me to do because he hasn't corrected me yet. I'm doing what God's asked me to do because nothing's going wrong. Like, I'm doing what God's asked me to do because clearly everything in my life seems to be going in the right direction. Like, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, I'm in the Word. Like, I'm doing these things. That oftentimes we can confuse God's approval with God's patience. Could I ask you this question? What's the last thing God asked you to do? Because maybe God's just being patient with you right now, even though you're in disobedience. Maybe God is just being patient with you right now so that you have time to repent, to change directions, to say, God, you know what? You're right. What you asked me to do, I'm not doing it. God, I don't want to mistake approval for patience. I see that you're being patient with me because I'm not being obedient. I am so glad that God is a God of patience. Oh, man. You know how many times I've missed it? A lot. And God's been patient with me every time. Actually, I'll take that back. God's been patient with me every time. But I have also gotten to the place where he had to come and correct me. Like, God has always been patient. But I've mistaken his patience sometimes for his approval. And sometimes he's had to come to me and say, Brian, you know what? I know you thought that I was in agreement with you about these things, but remember these other things I asked you to do and you're still not doing them? We need to address that. I don't want you to fall into the mistake that I've found myself in before of mistaking God's patience for his approval. Just because God isn't speaking something directly right now doesn't mean you're being obedient to what he already asked you to do. Or even though God is speaking something right now, it still doesn't mean you've been obedient with what he already asked you to do. What is this? Fruit. I love that Jesus, the first time he comes into the temple, he doesn't automatically just start flipping over tables and kicking people out. Like, that is a blessing to me because it gives me some hope. It lets me know that, okay, God is patient with me. But I also see that there comes a point when the only response Jesus has is to bring correction, is to say, you're not producing fruit. This needs to be addressed. And I would ask you this question, are you open to that? Are you open to God's correction? Because fruit is a result of obedience. And if we're not willing to be corrected, then we're not willing to be obedient either. See, this whole moment where Jesus is talking to his disciples, this little fig tree, right? Like, how do we get all of this out of a fig tree, Jesus? Maybe it's because Jesus knew he had to take something that they understood like something that they could physically see, tangibly watch, something that they could like literally interact with to give them the sign of, hey guys, you see what happened with that tree? Can I ask you the same question? Are you guys producing fruit? Because this wasn't just about a tree, it was a miracle that was also a sign. This miracle of decreation. This is the only time we see Jesus do something like this, so it must mean it's important. And what it does is it's not just a miracle, it shows us something about the people that Jesus has been interacting with. That God's chosen people, yeah, they had leaves. Yeah, they had the routines. Yeah, they had the rituals, but their hearts were far from him. They weren't producing fruit. And this is something that we see as a theme through Scripture. In the life and the ministry of Jesus, we see Jesus come looking for fruit from the people that claim to be his. Which lets me know if you and I claim to be his, there is a point in our lives when Jesus is going to come to us and look for fruit. And I would say there's not just one point. Our entire life is this moment where Jesus comes and looks for fruit. For you and for me, what are we producing? Like what are we actually producing in this life? Are our lives filled with obedience? Are our lives filled with submission? Are our lives filled with this following, this surrender of all things and giving ourselves to what God would want? Because it's clear that Jesus comes looking for something. And yes, Jesus, like God in Scripture says he's going to come and look for faith. And oftentimes we just focus on that part. I got to have faith. Like God's going to come looking for faith. So I'm going to have some faith. But we also see other moments when Jesus tells a parable and says, God, this gardener, he comes looking for fruit from his trees. And he finds one that's not producing anything, and he says, cut it down. Let it take up space here no longer. The Christian life is not just about faith. It's also about fruit. It's not just about having faith in God. It's also about producing the fruit of God. For you and for me, I would ask us this question tonight. What are we producing? What if Jesus was to come to us, what would he find? This passage to me is one of the most interesting passages in Scripture because it's a moment where Jesus doesn't just do this miracle and say, yay, everybody celebrate. He does a miracle that seems contrary to his nature. He does something that just doesn't fit with everything else that he's done. Like he does something that would have shocked them. And clearly that's what happened. Peter walked past the fig tree again and was amazed. Like, Jesus, what in the world happened here? It's clear that in this passage, Jesus does something that we don't see him do in any other passage of Scripture. Which would lead me to the question of why. Like, why did Jesus make such a big deal about this fig tree? Because sometimes it's easier to identify with something else other than ourselves. It's easier to identify with the fig tree, right? Like, oh, I can see why the fig tree needed to be cut down. It wasn't producing fruit. But the Lord would never cut me down. Like, oh, no, he wouldn't. Right? It's so much easier to say, oh yeah, that fig tree should have been decreated, brother. Like, Lord, get rid of it. It's not producing anything. But God comes to us and asks the same question. Yeah. Oh, cool. You got the whole fig tree thing? Cool. Awesome. Now, what about your life? Like, I know you saw me get close to the fig tree. I know you saw that it had leaves. It wasn't producing any fruit. So I decreated, I cursed it, and it dried up from the roots. Yeah, yeah, awesome. I'm glad that you understand that picture. But now let me ask you about the real picture. What about your life? Like, I'm coming to you now, and I'm asking you a question. Yeah, yeah, I see the leaves. I see you got some leaves. That is amazing. I see you got some routines, some discipline, some habits. I see you're growing in some spiritual things. But my real question is, not how spiritual are you? My real question is, how many times have you gone to church? My real question isn't, how often do you get into your prayer closet and pray on your knees? My question is, what happens when you come out of that prayer closet? What happens when you're standing face to face with a coworker? What happens when you're on the internet? What happens when no one's watching? What is the fruit that your life is actually producing? We don't feel bad for the fig tree. But I think Jesus, in his omnipotence, Jesus understood it's going to be easier for them to identify with the fig tree than it is for me to just come to them directly and say, hey, buddy, your life is not producing fruit. I think Jesus knew that we needed something to connect with, to relate to first. We needed to understand the principle before we tried to apply it. This little fig tree. I hope that you read this passage and you never read it the same anymore. Like, I genuinely pray that as you think about this passage of scripture, your mind immediately goes to, this is a miracle of decreation. That there are some things, like, I know I want God to recreate some things, but there are some things that I also need God to, like, decreate. Like, I need God to not just recreate some things, but also need him to just remove some things. But at the same time, Jesus was not just teaching faith. He was teaching fruit. So I pray that even as you read this scripture as well, you don't say, okay, this is about faith. Let me get my faith in God so I can move some mountains. Like, yeah, 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 that's cool and everything. But like, can we just look at the breadth of it first? Can we just open it up completely first before we begin to decide what part of it we want to focus on? Like, yes, Jesus is talking about faith here, but he is simultaneously talking about fruit because faith is identified by the fruit. If you have faith in God, it will be identified by the fruit your life is producing. The two cannot be separated. When you truly have faith in God, when you have this belief in him, when you know that he is who he says he is and he does what he says he will do, your life will begin to change because you will begin to produce the fruit that is in line with repentance. What is repentance? It's a demonstration of faith. Repentance is saying, I'm choosing to go in this direction, but God, I see that if I continue in this direction, something is not going to be right. I see if I continue in this direction, something has the ability to hurt me. I see if I continue in this direction, I will be walking in disobedience to you. So because I love you more than I love my own life, I will change directions and I will walk towards you. That is faith. It takes faith to walk away from your own life and walk towards his. It takes faith to say no to my desire so I can say yes to his. It takes faith to say, God, I know that I want this. I've been believing for this. I've been desiring this. But if this is not what you have for me, then I will change directions and I will walk towards you. Why? Because my faith, my trust, my life is in your hands. Faith is always identified by the fruit. Why is this so important? Because your faith is being identified by your fruit. When Jesus comes and says, hey, will I find faith on this earth? We could also say Jesus is looking to see if your life is producing fruit. Because fruit is a byproduct of faith. When you have faith in God, you will, as a byproduct, begin to produce fruit. Because faith is trust, it's confidence, it's belief, it's this sense of, you know what, God, whatever you say, it's obedience. And obedience produces fruit. Maybe for you tonight, this whole message can just come down to two simple ideas: faith and fruit. If you have faith in God, your life will, as a byproduct, produce fruit. But it is possible, don't miss this, it is possible to have the appearance of fruit without actually having the substance of fruit. It's possible for you to look like you're producing fruit, but not actually have the substance of fruit. And this is what happened with the fig tree. It had the appearance of fruit, but Jesus wasn't pleased with the appearance of fruit. Jesus is pleased with the presence of fruit. And I want to ask you, and I want to ask myself the same question. Like, I know I've got faith in God, but like, if my faith is really in Him, then my life will produce fruit. So am I producing fruit? Is my life changing? Am I becoming different? Am I becoming more like Him? Faith is identified by fruit. Jesus, He said it this way. He said, they will know you by your love one for another. What's that? Fruit. Jesus says, they'll know that you're mine by the way they see you living with each other. They'll know that you're mine by the fruit that you produce among each other. Jesus, hey, listen, you want to know what the world's going to see when they see you? You want to know how the world is going to know that you are mine? Because the way that you live is just different. The way that you love is just different. The way that you treat each other is just different. What's that? Fruit. Faith. It's identified by fruit. I just want to ask you tonight, not in condemnation, not in shame, but hopefully in conviction. Like, is your life producing fruit? And if not, the beautiful thing is Jesus is patient, right? He went into the temple the first time and didn't do anything. He gave time and space for repentance. He gave time and space for change. I just want to give you that encouragement tonight. If you feel like, you know what, I don't have any fruit, but I don't want to be decreated. Right? Like, if you're struggling with this idea, like, what is Jesus going to do to me? Can I just remind you that God is patient? Can I just remind you that God is just? Can I just remind you that God really is the God who created you? And if He created you, He wants you here. Like, it's not just that you're here and He hopes you do some things. He actually wants you here so that you can do some things. God is patient with you. God is patient with me. But God is also always looking for fruit. Every time He comes to us, He's looking for fruit. Every time He speaks a word to us, He wants to see if we're living it out. Every time we receive something from Him, He wants to see if we put it into practice. Why? Because faith is identified by the fruit. I want you to be in this place of relief, knowing that God's patient. It's not about our works, but faith in God produces works. It's not that I just got to work harder for God. It's that as I genuinely have my faith in Him, like, the works just kind of happen. Like, I just start loving my neighbor. I just start praying for my enemies. It just kind of comes out of me. Why? Because my faith is in Him. And it's not just me putting something in Him. He's putting something in me. So I want to give you this breath of fresh air of relief of, it's okay. It's okay if your life's not producing fruit right now. It's not okay if it stays that way, though. It's okay. God, He's given you this moment of repentance. He's giving you this moment of patience. He's giving you this moment to realize, to wake up and say, you know what, God? I know I've been following you. I know I've been producing some leaves. I know that I've been following the routines. I know that I've been following the rituals. I know that I've been doing some of these things. But God, I don't want to just do things. I want to produce something. I don't want to just come to church. I want you to meet me at church so that when I leave, I become the church. I don't want you to just speak a word to me in prayer. I want to be able to actually walk on that word on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Like, God, I don't just want to have faith in you. I want my faith in you to start producing something in me. I want to produce fruit for you, God. What would happen if every believer started producing this kind of fruit? Like, what would happen if our faith actually began to produce fruit, not just in our lives, but it began to produce fruit in this whole community? This is what faith in God is all about. That as you put your faith in Him, He begins to put something in you so that you can now produce something you never could before. And you know the cool thing? That the thing that you produce is actually providentially what God's going to use to help produce fruit in others. Right? Like, when we produce fruit, the thing about fruit is we don't just produce fruit just to have fruit. Like, the fruit is there for a purpose as well. It's not just that we got to produce fruit. It's like, no, somebody needs that fruit. Somebody needs that love. Somebody needs that patience. Somebody needs that word of encouragement. Somebody just needs what you have. But if God can't get it through you, because we're not allowing our faith to produce fruit, then it would seem as if God would want to come to us and say, hey, Brian, I need you to produce that fruit. Like, hey, Brian, I need you to produce that fruit, because it's not just about you producing fruit, Brian. It's about these other people that I need you to reach, that I need your life to impact. But if I can't get you to produce some fruit, there's some people that are still going to be waiting and hungry. And I don't want my people waiting and hungry. I want them fully fed. So Brian, because I love you, I'm going to come and correct you, because it's not just about you. It's about everybody else that I've called you to impact. What if we thought about it that way? And said, you know, it's not about me. It's not about my faith in God. It's about God getting His fruit in me so that He can reach other people. Faith and fruit. Our faith is identified by our fruit. God is so patient with us. And so for you and for me, I sense that there is this place of God giving us time. Like when Jesus went to the temple the first time and didn't do anything, it wasn't that He just saw it and said, okay, it's whatever, I'll leave. He actually came back the next time and said, we can't keep going this way. I feel like this is that first temple visit for us tonight. That Jesus is coming to us and saying, hey guys, listen, I know you've got some leaves. I know you've been doing some things. That's awesome and everything, but I need you to produce something. Like, it's not okay to stay this way. Like, I'm showing up to you right now to show you that, hey, there's a place of patience right now. I'm being patient with you. I'm giving you this space for repentance, but I will come back again. And when I come back again, I'm going to be looking for the fruit that I didn't find the first time. What if tonight was that space of repentance for us? What if tonight was that space of grace where Jesus just showed up just so that we could see Him and be reminded, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be doing something with what He's told me. Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, that's right. You did tell me something a while back. I haven't done it yet. Lord, let me do it tonight. Oh, you're right, Jesus. I remember that you were asking me to reach out to that person and I still haven't done it. Let me go ahead and be obedient with that tonight. Hey, Jesus, like, I remember you told me to give that, but I still hadn't done it because I was just kind of afraid. But you know what? Tonight, I'm going to give it because I have faith in you and I want to produce fruit. I believe that that's what tonight is, this beautiful space of grace, this beautiful space of patience, this beautiful first visit where Jesus just comes in and looks. He's just coming in looking, just seeing where we are. What's going on? What's in our minds? what's in our hearts, what's the reality of what's going on inside. I think that's what this encounter is tonight with God. That God is, he's just stepping in, showing up, say, hey, you remember? Remember the last thing I told you? You remember how we had talked about that one thing? Remember how I gave you that one word? Remember how when you were reading scripture, that one thing popped out to you and you knew that it meant to do something? You remember that? It's still kind of left undone. Would you just step into obedience tonight? Would you just go back and do that thing? Space of grace. I humbly ask you just a simple question. Have you done the last thing God asked you to do? And as I think about it, for me, it's like the Lord's bringing something to my mind as well. It's this space of grace, this space of patience. Hey, just go back and do that thing. Because you don't know that this is attached to something else. Faith and fruit. Faith is identified by fruit. So could we just pray together tonight? Can we just invite the Holy Spirit to remind us of the thing that we were told to do that we just hadn't done yet? Or could we just ask the Holy Spirit to give us the confidence, to give us the courage to actually go and do that thing? Because sometimes it's not that we forgot, it's just that we've been fearful. We've been battling the spirit of intimidation. But if I do that, what's going to happen? I'm not quite sure that the enemy's been intimidating us. If you actually do that, you know what's going to happen. You begin to process the future even though it hasn't happened. Maybe the enemy's been attacking you with just these thoughts of intimidation. Of like, yeah, but if you do that, if you do have that conversation, if you do speak to them when I'm asking you to speak to them, like if you do give that thing, if you do whatever that thing is that God's been asking you to do, you know nothing good's going to come from that. Intimidation. That's what that is. I think God right now is giving us this courage, this boldness to say, no. If he's asking, it's going to produce something. And whatever's being produced is far greater than my own fear. It's far greater than my own reservations. It's far greater than the intimidation that the enemy is trying to attack me with. It's far greater. So can we just pray for that together tonight? Come on, would you bow your heads? Would you pray with me? Father, we are so in love with you. And God, we know that Jesus teaches that he is looking for fruit. And fruit most often, and maybe always, looks like obedience. That Jesus, you said, if you love me, keep my commands. Obedience. So Father, would you give us the courage? Would you, by your Spirit, give us the boldness? Would you, by your Spirit, would you just first give us the ability to remember? Because for some of us, it's just, we can't identify anything right now, but there's always something you're speaking to us. Could you, by your Spirit, just bring to our remembrance that which we have left undone? And as we remember it, whether it's right now, whether it's tonight as we're falling asleep, whether it's in the morning when we wake up, as we remember, would you give us the boldness and the confidence to obey, to do that which you've asked us to do, and to trust that as we do, that you will begin to produce fruit through us that would be far greater than anything we could do in our own strength. Father, you are good. We thank you. that you are not just the God who creates mountains. You're also the God who can move them. We thank you that you are not just the God who creates things, but you're also the God who can get rid of some things. We thank you that you are the God who looks for fruit. And in that, we can rest. Because as we follow you, as we put our faith and trust in you, that you will begin to produce something through us that we could never do on our own. So, Father, we submit and surrender ourselves to you tonight. Lead us and guide us by your Spirit. Help us, remind us, show us things, and guide us into obedience. In Jesus' name.